I'm ready. Good morning, everyone. Today is 11 a.m. and we're gathered in the BCC conference room for general discussion. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Dionne, Commissioner Hare is out on assignment.
And we don't actually have a packet, right?
We don't really have a packet for
There's not one in the computer. We have the agendas, but we don't have...
Well, that sounds like I saw your agenda, so I was like, I don't know if I need to hand this out.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, but did you give us the truancy ordinance to read?
Can they copy with us?
Didn't I?
Well, there's no packet in the computer.
Nothing in the computer. I looked this morning.
I did too.
Is this the only one we need copies of?
I have some other things, but I think I can explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than give copies.
Okay.
So just on that, what this does, all the legalese that's in the thing, there's no way through Oregon law right now, believe it or not, that allows a juvenile department or a school district for that matter to work directly with youth for truancy.
Okay, so we're doing truancy first?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is what she's making copies of. There is a law that says a school district can cite a parent into court when their kid is chronically truant.
Truancy.
Then the parent shows up in court and they say, okay, well, it could be my 17-year-old running wild or whatever. I'm trying to get him to school. He's doing what he wants. And that can be the end of the story right there. The court can then levy a fine against the parent. That's basically what they can do. There's no direct way to work right
now. How's a parent supposed to, if the parent already admits, I can't do anything about this kid?
That's the problem.
So you give him a fine, he goes, okay, I'll pay it, but you know, I get a fine, might as well take my bank account, because I'm never going to be able to get this kid. I need help with it.
Exactly. So what some different counties around the state have done, including Jackson, is created a county ordinance by which the juvenile department and the school district can cite the youth, similar to what we do if the youth commits a violation or a crime. If they reach a level of chronic truancy, basically right before they're going to be booted out of school, this, through a county ordinance, gives the juvenile department district the right to work, or the ability to work with the kid. They can say, okay, you're chronically truant. Citation, they come to us. We pull in the youth, the family. We've got the positions in the schools now where we can actually do this. We never had it before. And which is why this is a follow-up to those embedded school positions. It doesn't have any teeth. You can't by county ordinance put a kid in juvenile detention or do any of that stuff that we do with a criminal case.
We don't have a truancy officer.
No.
I mean, the schools used to have a truancy
officer. The school resource officers are the truancy officers.
Okay.
Right.
So the fact that we funded three school resource officers, they would be that.
They fill that bill.
Yep.
But the old school truancy officer, like some of us.
An actual position is not there.
Haven't been for a long, long time. Right. But so this is, it really is, and the districts are really excited about this. It wouldn't be a super high volume, but what it says is once the district staff, who's in charge of these kids, have done all they can do, we're the next resource. If we choose to cite the youth under this and say, it's not a court date, it's because of the cite, let's work with us instead of go to court. That's the carrot. And we don't look at it, like I said, it's not looked at as criminal. We would bring the family in and try to remove whatever barriers are there to get that kid to school. Why isn't Johnny getting to school? Well, because of this, this, or this. And say, okay, then we go to work on that. And is it transportation? Okay. We've got funds. We can figure out transportation. You know what I mean. We can do those kinds of things. So,
I don't know the pro. I know that that's part of why we wanted these school outreach officers in the school that we funded, was to have an intervention before that youth got to that point of committing crimes or various things. One of my cousins, I know I have many. he's dealing with a 17-year-old who he can't force to go to school, but he can be cited by the school district for his kid not showing up. But there's nothing that...
That's the way it says now, but there's no...
There's nothing that forces the kid get to school.
Right.
And they say after 14, the kids have a right not to go to school, but the parents will be cited for them not going. So there's this weird state law thing that...
Are we checking with the kid to find out why he doesn't want to go to school? Because I guarantee you that when I was a youth and I was reasons why I didn't want to go to school, and I just flat didn't do it. And you're not correcting by correcting me, you can even go correct it with the school.
Yeah.
But I don't think the kid gets listened to a lot of times to say, yeah, well, I don't like this. I had a niece. I do have a niece. And about 3 months into her senior year, she wasn't going to go to school anymore. I said, why? And she didn't like, first off, she didn't like the cliquish environment at Grants Pass High School. She didn't like her instructors at Grants Pass High School because they picked on her, basically. Or she felt they were picking on her. I said, well, you can't just stop. She said, well, there's no way that I can finish. They told me I couldn't finish. There was no way I could make this up and graduate. I said, I don't believe that for a minute. I'll go in and see that. I want them to tell me that. But there's no way you can make up the credits. Well, what she ended up doing, going out here to RCC and changing instructor,
right,
changing curriculum, changing environment, bang. She says, I love it. Why haven't I been learning this all along? And that was kind of an issue. We are just making the assumption that it's the kid that doesn't want to go to school and not the school that's not producing it. An exciting environment, maybe a challenging environment for that kid to want to go back to school.
Right, and those tools are exactly on the table when we're able to work with the kid.
Right, but
maybe it is a change of location. Maybe it's a different, I mean, those are all things that we can work with the district to make happen. Because you're right, there are a lot of reasons that kids don't go that aren't just the fact that I don't want to go.
Right.
And so.
My response when this first came to me several months ago was not wanting it to be punitive necessarily, wanting to get to the solution, and that was Jim's intent, that this gives us the right to work with the kids and the families, and that's why we funded those other positions too.
This opens up another, like a doctor giving prescriptions. He can give you all kinds of prescriptions. If he wants to just keep you doped up, he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Their true doctor says, you know, I'm going to find a prescription that fits what you need and only what you need.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe this is it. Also, just reading my emails, the internship programs and that conversation is going on. If that internship program is through the school system, that may be what that kid needs.
Right.
I need to know where I'm doing algebra, I'm doing geometry, and it was years before I realized that, gosh, I do need geometry.
You mean you put those triangles to work in the duct system? Then you're
sheet metal.
Yeah.
5 times radius.
Right.
Equals diameter. Mm-hmm. Where do you hear that before? And pie meant more than cherry, apple, lemon meringue, and that was the thing. It was, where do you make that connection? And the earlier you make that value to the kid, the faster he catches on. I like that intern program because of that. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
But, well, and that's another example. So.
But I see what you're trying to do. Here, you're going to be able to step in now and bring the youth in and say, you know, it's not your parents are in trouble there, Bob.
Right.
You're going down the road.
Right.
But solution-based that we're looking
exactly.
for.
Right, because,
you know, maybe, you know, well, let me hear what you have to say, young man, and then, you know, maybe, you know what? You got an interest in cars. You need to go out there and hang out at Mach Ford for a while.
And
you like body work? Maybe you need to go there.
Right, and that's the reality, as you mentioned, the case where the youth was able to complete credits. One example is the kid, just like you're talking about, toward the end of their junior year, mathematically impossible before they'd have zero credits. And we see these kids. They've been in school for 3 years, they literally have zero credits. There is no way they will get a high school diploma, yet they come to school enough to stay on the rolls or whatever. Maybe the GED program, maybe
they come to school socially, but not educationally.
Exactly.
Or maybe the only meal they're getting in the day,
and,
or maybe the only clean place they go from home. And
that's exactly right. We see that in the Illinois Valley all the time, because
the only bathroom they have.
Lunches are now free, you know, that kind of thing, and so you have that kid that shows up once every 10 days, so that they don't get dropped, or once every 5 days, or whatever, you know, when they're hungry.
So Jim needs permission from us. To go forward and work with legal to get this on an ordinance schedule for us.
I think I'm in favor of it.
Okay.
I mean, it may be that missing link that we're doing. Parents, and especially if the parents don't care, they're not going to do anything about it anyway.
So you have our permission to work with legal to get it on the schedule so we can get some hearings scheduled.
Which would start with, would it start with an admin or do we go straight to?
Well, no, I guess legal would know legal that. Doesn't need admin.
Okay.
So they may bring it to a legal meeting that we say, okay, now, but we're giving you the blessing to say it can get scheduled for hearings.
Do you want this done before the first of the year or do you want that?
Well, the fact that they take 90 days even after the second reading.
Okay.
I mean, the sooner the better for us, but the reality is the districts know that this has been in the queue for a while and it takes some time. We know that it'll at least be going for next year if we get it done by April-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we waited January, February, and March, we'd be...
I was going to say, I think that Commissioner Fowler would probably be on board with this without a problem.
I don't.
Something we want to just
The hearings won't be scheduled till January anyhow.
Okay,
so it's just giving you permission to get them on the queue to get them scheduled.
I know your urgency if it needed to be done at the next WBS or something, but if it doesn't, we're cool with it.
Okay.
Get that to legal and make sure everything's legit. I think we'll be all set.
Perfect. Thank you. So item number two, I'll give you the
CAC programs and budget.
Yeah, CAC program budget. What we're looking for to make that program as whole as possible right now is bumping our 0.75 employee to full-time. That's Tina Stafford. She's the children's advocate there. And we have a job posted right now that's 3/4 time for our forensic interview position. And we are having a terrible time getting qualified applicants for that. It's a very detailed, very specific type of job. And we'd like to bump that up to full-time. We think we can utilize the position full-time, but the VOCA grant that we got only covered 3/4 time. So to make both of those changes, we're looking at, and I think these are very close, right around $48,000 per year. So for the rest of this year would be about half of that. If we could pull this off after the first of the year, it'd be about $24,000 to get us through the rest of the year. And then ongoing after that would be an additional 48.
And that 48 would be in your next year's budget?
Yes.
And we are looking that this would have to come out of the Forest Timber Forest Trust Fund, which is supposed to fund the juvenile.
Which is supposed to fund it anyway, so.
Right. But it would be an additional going forward. So what I guess what I'm asking for here would be the blessing to work, because this would be a budgetary change halfway through, and I know there's a process there.
Mm-hmm. It would need to essentially go, you need to work with Arthur to make sure that trust fund has the money.
Right.
Arthur will bring it to an admin that we approve to go forward.
Right.
Since
when it comes back, if it gets through Arthur, mm-hmm. I'm in favor of it.
Okay, great.
How are you fixed up when you're going out for job placement? You know, are you bumping up against everybody's paying more than me and I'm not getting any applicants?
We're dealing with that in public health.
Well, we're dealing with it across the board, but I was wondering how that shapes up with it.
To be honest, with most of our jobs, with the exception of the 6% PERS, we are very close. But we are constantly dealing with that. If we're right in line with it and someone, say, is working for another county, they say, okay, you pay the same, but I take a 6% loss when I come to work for Josephine. So we're actually pretty comparable to our comparable counties.
Because we have the employees pay their 6% first,
where
other communities pay it for.
But you get to live in Grants Pass, that's worth 6%.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So
you just answered your own question,
right,
sir.
But
right.
There's not forensic child interviewers in every county.
No, it's...
So
it's,
where's our comparables with the type of position versus counties?
Well, what we did look at that, and I believe this is... I think the salary is in line, but the 3/4 time, to find somebody with experience, they won't come here.
They want a full-time position.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have... This is...
We got 5 minutes.
Yeah, the applications we've received for that position, I won't say are comical, but they're just not qualified.
There are some people that literally said, I watched a TV show, so I should be able to do this.
Yeah, like CSI, so I can interview a... okay, let me skip to this one really quick, and I don't know if...
Which is the Extended Detention Program.
Extended Detention Program, and I'm not sure if it's something that we could get signed today or not. What this is a letter in support of a 30-day extended detention program, which by statute allows the department, if the judge court orders it, for a youth to stay in detention for 30 days if it is a program. The program is individual counseling, group counseling, alcohol and drug counseling, all of this. So there's a lot involved in that that a regular kid just in detention waiting to go to court doesn't get. So what we use this for, when we were open last time, we had it. We're reapplying for it now with the board's blessing, is a youth that's on most of the time probation in the community and it's not working out. The PO is at wit's end. They've been working with them. They're trying to get them to meet the conditions of their probation, not use, go to school, you know, all of those things. A lot of times at the very end of those, on rare occasion, we wind up committing that youth to the Oregon Youth Authority because we can't, you know, they're beyond our community, you know.
We try.
This is a chance to say, wait a minute, we go to the judge and say, can we try them in our 30-day program? We're going to get them some intense cognitive behavioral group time, some education, so all of these things. Quick spin dry, you can't go longer than 30 days by statute, but if the Youth Development Division approves your program, which we think they will because it's a reapplication from the one we had in 2012, the judge can court order that. And then so that youth on probation spends 30 days in our program, goes through it, we work our magic, and we give them another crack at the community.
Versus going to prison?
Yes.
Did you email that to our staff to put on letterhead? That's not our letterhead.
It's not. Okay.
So that's why it said to email our staff so they put it on the board's letterhead.
Okay. So I can do that. I can email this over. And there isn't a huge hurry for the signature or whatever, but it is the board chair.
So I make a motion that authorizes the board chair to sign a letter on behalf of the board to support our participation in this program.
I'd second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-1. Send that over. I'm going to be in tomorrow too. So.
Okay, great.
If you email it, our staff will put it on our letterhead so he can get it signed.
I'll be in tomorrow.
You can send it in, or we can send it in.
Great. And with my remaining 1 minute.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Basically, whatever the process is to look into the space, the physical space that's needed between the CAC program and the CASA program that now shares the same building, we're growing, forensic interview positions coming on, CASA's growing, they don't have room or offices for their volunteers. Basically, in a nutshell, when I ask both programs what they need about the square foot, each program needs about the square footage that they have now. So an office
for
the director.
They're shared right now,
yes.
Each of them need the full amount.
It's to the point, literally, when we have a forensic interview going on in our interview room, the CASA director has to leave her office.
Because they can hear.
Because and they are bumping up against each other, something terrible, and both programs are growing. And so I'm not sure what the process is to at least start the investigation, like what is available out there.
Ideally, as long as we know what you need, we'll see if we can find you a place to put.
Yes.
To put it. That my concern is that let's move IT. IT, right. Moving IT, first off, they're, I think, logistically located exactly where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And moving IT and all of their circuits and so on and equipment and everything is probably fairly spendy, but moving you might not be that as spendy.
Right.
So we'll look at it. We'll just kick it around. And we've got some spaces that are going to be coming available.
So can we authorize Jim to start working with facilities to be, and our property manager to see what
I think it would be important for Jim to get what he needs to facilities so that can be, go and move him into a building that doesn't have what you're going to need and it gets even more expensive to put those facilities in there. So I think, why don't you start working?
This is part of us wanting to do that strategic plan and goal setting at the beginning of the year, is also looking at a master plan, facilities master plan, goals, needs, program needs for the next 10 years.
And make sure that Commissioner Hare, because he's a liaison to facilities, that he knows Jim's going to be nosing around with Ryan.
Yes.
Okay. So that he's not blindsided.
Right.
Okay.
Great. I guess the last on that, I guess I would say if one program needed to move and there was remodeling involved of some other place somewhere, it would probably make more sense to move the CAC because the room where we do our interviews needs to be soundproof. It's not ideal for what we have going on right now, and really we should probably look at a remodel anyway. So if one program were to move, I guess I would say that would be the
to move them into your facility down on 4th Street?
No, just to move out of where they are
now. Out of where they are now.
Because they're, like I said, they both
the one that needs to be closer to the courts is CASA?
Well, there are department, and they're only two blocks away also, the CAC. So as close as we could get them to us, the closer the better. But I guess what I'm saying is if one were to move, it would probably make more sense to move the CAC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else, Jim? You have any more questions for Jim? Is there any more on the, I think we covered it.
Okay, so I can get with your real estate guy and your facilities guy. And,
yep.
Okay.
Helene LaLouche and Ryan. Talk to Ryan first, and then as far as need, Ryan Johnson, facilities.
Helene, you said?
Helene.
Helene Rich. She's our properties person, property manager. Oh.
What happened?
He's been gone almost a year in assessor's office.
No kidding.
Yeah, Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
You'll like Helene. She's very competent. So.
Okay.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned at 11:22.